Well, officially, technically, it's not exactly Patriot Monday. It's a bye week, and the routine of an NFL football schedule is completely tossed out the window, and all things have changed. Matt Castle, quarterback of the New England Patriots, joins us on the phone lines. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Hello?
Hi. Can you hear us?
Yeah, now I can hear you. How are you guys doing?
Good. Hey, you know, we'll do a little variation on a theme here. When you're in junior high and you come back from summer vacation, the teacher always says, okay, write the essay. What'd you do on your summer vacation? Our variation on the theme is, what did you do on your bye week, Matt?
I actually rested a little bit, went out to a few dinners, and that's about it. I just got some well-needed rest.
This is the one week out of the year that all routine is kind of thrown out. Can you give us a timeline of what you've accomplished since last we talked to you, not only as an individual but as a team? And what is the timeline, second part of that question, for putting Miami behind you and looking forward to San Francisco?
Timeline, well, really, you come in on Monday and you make the corrections and you sit down as a team. And this is the last Monday, excuse me, and we just go over what we had, and then we close the door on Miami and we move on to San Francisco. And then we practiced on Wednesday and Thursday of last week and worked on some different things and different aspects of both offense and defensively, also in special teams. We got a few days off, and then we come back in yesterday and start the week on San Francisco.
Matt, this was, for longtime Patriot observers and media fans, it was the most shocking loss we've ever seen. Does it feel that way from the inside? Were you and your teammates, are you still shocked that you lost that game and lost it the way you did?
Well, I think we've really moved on from it. I mean, I wouldn't say that we're absolutely shocked, but, I mean, we weren't expecting to go in there and to lose the way that we did. But it happens, and you got to move on. And so... What happened? I mean, we can't do anything about it now.
Can there be a positive from it? Did it was it a lesson that you can take no one lightly, that everyone can beat anyone on any game? And do you think there's a certain motivational aspect to it that might help the team?
There's some motivation to it, of course. You never want to go out and put out a bad performance, and I think it's just a wake up call to everybody that you have to be ready week in and week out, and you can't ever go into a game and think that you've got it won before it's done. Not that we did, but we always have to prepare to the best of our abilities and go out and play to the best of our abilities each and every week, or that could happen.
Hey, Matt, Tom has told us on a number of occasions over the years when we've had him on Mondays that, oddly enough, Belichick's saltiest language and most intense rebukes and criticisms often come after wins, and less often is said when there's a loss. Have you found that to be the case with the coach?
I find that to be somewhat true. I mean, you definitely take your fair share of lickings, both when you win and when you lose. But when we win, there's always something that we can improve on to get better for the next week. And when you lose, there's always something that you can improve on as well. But it tends to, for him to, when we do lose a game, to really focus on what we need to do moving forward and then close the door on that and then move forward.
Is the quarterback of the New England Patriots exempt from Bill's wrath, or is that just Brady?
No, Brady's not exempt. I'm not exempt. Nobody's exempt from Bill's wrath. And so it doesn't matter if you're a 15-year veteran or if you're a rookie, you're nobody's exempt. He's going to come in, and if there's things that he wants to point out, then he's going to point it out in front of the whole team.
Yeah, you know, that occurred to me when I was reading Troy Brown's comments, and he said there'd be times that I'd come home from practice after Bill had gotten in my face and screamed at me. And I'm thinking, Bill Belichick screams at Troy Brown? I mean, I don't think of Troy Brown ever lacking in effort or lacking in brains or lacking in getting his assignments done properly, but I guess, as you say, everybody can feel it if they mess up.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt. And he runs a tight ship, and you just have to be prepared and have to have high self-esteem when you go in there, because he'll knock it down from time to time.
Plus, you have to smack the lead dog around occasionally to get
all the other
get
ones
the
in
attention
line
of all the other dogs.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt,
no, there's no doubt. There's
when you,
no doubt.
You go to Northern California, then to Southern California. Does a kid from out there have a lot of distractions to deal with?
Not too much. I really let my wife deal with most of the distractions or ticket requests, but I've got a lot of family out there, and I'm sure that it'll be great to see some of them after the game and go back to where I'm from.
Is it a good idea to stay out there in your mind, or is there a downside to staying out there?
Are they staying at your house? the team?
Yeah, everybody stay in my house. Yep. We're going to barbecue once a week.
Excellent.
I mean, so. No, I think it's really the decision that they made, and I don't really have anything to say about whether it's the right decision or the wrong decision. I just know that we're going to go out there, and it's a business trip for us, and we're going to get prepared and play well against San Francisco and then go out there against San Diego and do the same thing. So it's really, I think the pluses are we don't have to do the West Coast to East Coast trip back and forth one week after the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then the minuses is probably not just being into a normal routine and at your own facility.
Hey, obviously the 49ers is not a team we're real familiar with because you don't play them twice a year. Your observations of San Francisco, certainly defensively, since I guess you've looked at the film in terms of what we might expect, what we will see on Sunday.
Well, San Francisco's they've got a very experienced secondary with Clemens and Harris and Romans and Lewis. Those guys are all good and experienced and been in the league for a while. And then you've got a great linebacker with 52 Willis, who's a heck of a player. He had a heck of a rookie year last year. He's got a lot of speed and can run around. And then they've got they've made some additions to the front with Smith up there, and they're a big physical front. So they've got a very good defense and a very experienced defense.
I should probably know this, but who did you root for as a kid growing up, Matt?
I was more of a Dallas Cowboy fan. My dad was from Texas, so I grew up watching the Dallas Cowboys.
So you weren't, I know you're after the Rams moved, but you didn't have to pick between like the Chargers and the Niners to be a loyal Californian?
No, when I was growing up, though, the 49ers were one of the dominant teams, and I always enjoyed watching Joe Montana. But at the same time, my dad kept me loyal to the Cowboys.
Did you hate anyone? Do you hate the Chargers if you're from L.A.?
No, I don't really hate any. I didn't really hate anybody. Growing up from L.A. and where I was, it was really the UCLA-USC rivalry that was the biggest football in town because the Chargers were a little bit down south from where I was, and everybody else was up north. So
see, that's weird to us. We hate everybody. We hate the Jets and the Dolphins and
the
Cowboys.
Hey, didn't your dad make you hate Pittsburgh?
There's a lot of hatred. I know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hatred going around here.
Pittsburgh. Yeah, we hate all those.
Did your dad make you hate Pittsburgh if he was for Dallas?
No, he didn't really make me hate anybody.
No?
He made me root for Dallas on the weekends. I mean, other than that, I mean, it really wasn't a lot of hatred going
on. Californians are so weird.
Yeah, so laid back, huh? Yeah.
Man, anybody,
more angst.
Up here, everyone hated the Cowboys except for you, Matt. I mean, most of the country hated the Cowboys. Probably why. It's probably fun rooting for the team that everyone hates. It's kind of like Patriots fans now. They root for their team and everyone else hates them.
Yeah. Yeah. Win too much.
Yeah. I have noticed that since I've been here now, that a lot more people dislike the Patriots than what I noticed before. But I think that's just they love to hate people that win a lot. So.
Right, that's true.
Yeah. Have you heard from Tom this week? How's he doing?
He's doing well. I see him up at the field, so he's moving along and getting rehabbing, and he's doing just fine.
So he's around. He's in the building. He makes appearances.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think, like, if Oregon State played USC 10 times, how many times would Oregon State win them all, you think, all 10?
I don't know. They have our number. It's pretty amazing. I mean, every time. I remember my freshman year in college, we went up there. We were ranked 8th in the country. We went up to Corvallis, and we were 3-0. And they went in and put a romping on us, and they had the same occurrence where the whole stadium rushed the field and everything like that. And then 2 years ago, they beat us, I think in 2006 And then just this past week. So it's, they've got our number for some reason.
Hey, can you tell us the history of you playing, starting at tight end? We know you didn't start at quarterback, but you played tight end. Did the tight ends mind when you changed positions and took their job?
I only played tight end for a small stay there at SC, and that was my junior year, and we had some injuries and everything like that, and they asked me if I could get in there and play a little bit, so I said of course, and the mindset was I was going to go in and just play, and so the first day of practice I go out there and I have to line up across the ball from Kenichi Udazi, who's a big defensive end from Minnesota right now, and he's about 290 pounds, and I'm thinking, oh, well, this should be interesting. And I had a little bit of help from the tackle, so we blocked this guy, and he kind of shoves me back, but I get more help from the tackle, and I'm like, okay, this is easy. So then the next play, they call an isolation block, and it's one-on-one, and I hit him, and he drives me back 10 yards and body slams me and calls me a name. And I said, this might not be as fun as I thought it was going to be. So You know, the tight end was an interesting, very interesting for me for a little bit, but I really decided at the end of it in my senior year that I want to go back to quarterback.
So, Matt, based on that story, I'm guessing you kind of labeled yourself as a catching tight end as opposed to a blocking tight end, fair to say?
There's no doubt. I have a lot of respect for the people that refer to themselves as catching tight ends versus blocking.
You have good hands?
I bet Brady couldn't play tight end in the Pac-10. That's pretty impressive.
You never know, you know. You never know. I just figured to get out there and get on the field, and I wasn't playing much at the time at the quarterback position, so I definitely wanted to get out and contribute to the team in whatever way I could.
Do you recall how many passes you caught?
I know. My freshman year, I was out there against Berkeley, and I played a little wide receiver, and I caught, I think, two passes from Carson, and then my junior year, I caught a few passes from Leinart as well, I believe. So
if 10 is the over-under, you'd go under on number of passes caught?
I'd go under.
You'd go under.
I'd go under on 10.
All right, Matt. Good talking to you.
All right, guys.
We'll talk to you next week after San Francisco. Matt.